Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. We're going to be with you for about 55 minutes today, 58. excuse me. My allergies are catching up with me. It is spring. Everything has bloomed except me. I've just withered. But I have with me today someone I have the utmost respect for. He's jumped into the pilot seat of the district attorney's office. His name is District Attorney Timothy Shagrew. A lot of you know him. I made a pledge to him when he got elected that I would do my best to have him on every single month, because that's how dynamic, and you're going to hear it in this show, believe me. I just said to him off air, it goes from sexual assault to somebody ripping off a contractor, ripping off people. But it is modern era criminal justice, and it is, and that's a term, it's overused, but it really is true. This criminal justice system and the crimes today and everything are so much different than even when I started 50 years ago. So we're fortunate to have District Attorney Shagrew. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing today? I know you got a little bit of allergies there, but you're looking just as chipper as usual.
Well, for an old fat bald guy, I thank God every time my feet hit the ground in the morning. Boy, you have been one, you and your entire staff have been one busy group of people.
We really have. You know, I said that in 22, you know, 2 years ago when I was running. And the reason why I decided to run in April of 2022, because, you know, as you know, I had a very successful law practice. And
oh, you're very successful.
Didn't really want to shut my business down, but I knew we had the need, and we've tackled a lot. When I set out to do, I said those things I was going to do during the campaign. We've accomplished just about every single thing that we've set out to do. I regained the trust in the public opinion of this office. We've made it very, very professional. We've made sure that we've gotten our budget under control, and that our human resources manuals that hadn't been done in since 2016, we've gotten those all back up. So there was a lot of work for me to do in the first 16 months that we've been in office, and we've accomplished all that. And I am very, very proud of my staff. We lost a couple of lawyers to getting married and moving and whatnot in the month of March, but I was able to fill those positions right away as well. And we've got about four or five new lawyers starting up with us, and we're still trying to hire even a couple more, because we're doing so much work, and we're very successful. And everywhere I go, I was at the United Cerebral Palsy event on Friday night, and people are just coming up to me thanking me for the effort, because we're dealing with disabled persons prosecutions. We're dealing with, as you said, larcenies, organized retail crime, and we're also dealing with sexual assaults, and we've got murders pending, that the bunch of murder files will be coming up. So normally, when in the Berkshire Superior Court, criminal sessions run every other month. We have run every month just about since I took office on January 4th. So we have gone nonstop, making sure we've gotten through the COVID numbers, through the COVID cases, and now a lot of these cases that we're starting to bring to fruition were cases that we had developed and built. And we could talk a little bit about some of those, one of which I handled, you know, that individual killed his 2-year-old. And then I prosecuted that case. It happened April of last year, and we prosecuted it through successful conclusion in February, which he did a significant state. He's doing a significant state prison sentence, which was a case that I handled. So we can talk about whatever you want to talk about today. There's been a lot. So
here's how I like to do it with people. I had Richard Neal on this morning.
Great! Yeah. My wife's boss.
Yeah. We go back a day or 25. I like to have you. I have some questions, but you're the meat and potatoes of this, not me. And Congressman Neal, I think I may have mentioned this in the past. Gave me the highest, or the show, the highest compliment that I think you can get as a broadcaster. He said, you know, I like coming on your show because it's like two guys having a conversation about relevant things.
Yes, that's true.
I started this informational, educational, a few laughs along the way.
Yeah. And I tell you this, Bill, in the community, people say it to me all the time, they like watching the show and listening to the show on the air, because they just know it's the regular guy. Regular people, we're all talking to each other about what's going on in the community, you know, in terms that people can understand. and understand everything that's happening in the community. And you, I see you out everywhere at all these different public events. And you're a good testament to Berkshire County, a good testament to Pittsfield for what you do out in the community, you and your wife. And so it's always a pleasure to see you. And that's why I agree with the congressman. It is nice to be on your show because we have a chance to just converse, you know, and talk about what's going on around us.
And you're right in the middle of it. You are the DA. You got excellent ADAs for people outside the criminal justice, assistant district attorneys. I see them every so often when I'm out. I like to walk on North Street because it's flat.
I do usually on Saturdays. Usually on Saturdays, I go to the Soda Chef and I'll work my way down to Brazilian Market. You know, I try to go. A lot of great new Latino restaurants on North Street. I'm looking forward to First Fridays when we're going to be able to see some of these events back on North Street. That's exciting for us. We really tackled the crime problem on North Street very well. It's a safe place to come. I think it's good. Like I said, usually on Saturdays, I'm usually walking around down on North Street just to stop it in the stores and storefronts and saying hello to everybody.
It's what are you seeing as the most challenging part of not your job, but what's facing our society? And like I tell people with Berkshire, what's unique, in my opinion, about Berkshire County is that it's urban, it's rural, and it's rural. I mean, we've got some towns with 800,000 people.
Right. We have got the mix of almost everything. We have a city, and we have two really, I think, significantly sized cities in North Adams and Pittsfield. And of course, Barrington, it's like a city, but it's also like a small town. And we do have our rural communities, you know, even considering Cheshire and Adams as being a little bit rural. But then you're right, we do have the real rural when we're dealing with Florida and Washington and some of the smaller towns, Alfred. In there. So we have 32 towns and cities that we have to be caring for. And we do that. And I try to, I found out how big the county was when I ran in 2022, because I went to every possible function out there, including like an Otis steak bake. And, you know, I was up in North Adams a lot on the great events they have this summer. And I'm looking forward to the events this summer. I think it's important for the public to know that we're out there. But to answer your question, the greatest challenge I think we still have is trying to get people into recovery is a real challenge. And we keep seeing that. But we're trying to get that in the district court to, instead of waiting to people, you know, plead out later on and get into a program, I'm trying to get people into a program sooner rather than later at arraignment. And if they're someone that's a first-time offense or it's a minor offense and something, and it's drug-related, I like to get people into treatment sooner rather than later, rather than waiting. And then we don't need these cases in the criminal justice system. We can get rid of them once they have gotten through the process of getting clean. That takes a year to 18 months. But I'm finding it hard to get people engaged into doing that. I knew that when I was in private practice, that it's hard to get addicts into treatment. But I'm hoping the more that we'll get some more family support and some more help from the defense bar, because I am giving people encouragement.
Sure.
It's all about accountability. I've always said to this, is that I hold people accountable for whatever actions you're doing. You and I are accountable every day we get up and go to work. Well, that accountability goes to people who are charged with crimes as well. And it's a range of what the punishment should be. Sometimes the punishment is just rehabilitation and getting people off of drugs, getting them back to work, making them productive. And we're trying to do that. But to answer your question again, is that's probably the most challenging aspects we have in the community.
Yeah.
That and the fact that we are geographically a big community, and things that are important in Great Barrington are different than things that are important in North Adams, and likewise in Pittsfield. So we have different dynamics throughout the entire county. But that's why I'm out almost every weekend at events, so that I can speak to the public to see what they're seeing, what they need. And I am seeing a lot of thank yous for what we're doing, because we are making sure that people are aware of what's happening and that we are prosecuting these cases. We had a very big win last week with Commonwealth Research Center. Joe Yerlano, one of my top prosecutors, who did a wonderful job on a tough case. We originally had 41 victims, 18 of which did come in and testify. So we were able to go forward on those 18 specific people. And Mr. Center was found guilty on all those charges. He stole from these people over $300,000. And we had alleged that he stole $400,000 with the other 13 people that unfortunately couldn't make it, or just were so worn down by the process when we do lose people that way. But it was a big win, a good conviction. I thank the jury for finding him I thank Joe Giuliano and Taryn Nutting Jones, who was our victim advocate that worked with these 18 victims, and James Hall, our presenter, who did all the media stuff for the trial. So it was a big win, and he's facing, I think, 15 to 18 years in prison on May 15th when we're doing the sentencing.
Wow.
So it was a significant victory for Joe Giuliano. So in the meantime, too, I also, as you're probably aware, I took care of that Olympian who molested the children at
Yes, I did.
Berkshire Camp in Beckett
Yeah.
in the 1970s. And that was a very unique case. It was a
Yeah.
case that they prosecuted 45 to 50 years ago. And we were the only state in the United States, even though he had gone to multiple states and abused young boys. He was the only state, our state was, where we could prosecute him, because since he left our jurisdiction, the statute of limitations tolled, which means it didn't run. So it means that we could still prosecute him here, and we're able to do that. And I believe he got a 10 to an 11 year state prison
Yeah.
sentence, which was, for a 74-year-old man, was a significant sentence. But I got justice for those victims, and I'm pretty happy about that. And again, those are cases that I'm trying to handle. And I did that case on my own and handled in the courtroom. Same with Galibozic, who was drunk in his vehicle and flipped it over. He has 2-year-old in the back of the car, 2 o'clock in the morning. He's out looking for prostitutes and drugs. And he has a little 2-year-old, and he flips the car over. The boy, miraculously, they both survive.
Yeah.
Car's down. It's going like 70 miles an hour on the street, flips over. Kid survives in the car seat. He gets out the back. Finally gets out of the car. He's heavily intoxicated. Witnesses are there. The homeowners are there. He then says he's going to the neighbor's house, takes a kid, tries to go, cross a river. Now it's April 8th, 2020.
Yeah, freezing cold.
Freezing cold. Water is flowing, and it's fast, and he's barefoot. He loses the kid in the river. The kid drowns. So, you know, he ended up getting a significant state prison sentence. That case was mine. I actually investigated that case. It was part of the whole team on April 8th last year when it happened, the very day my dad died. But, you know, it was something that I had to, you know, focus on and dedicate my time to, which my father would have been proud of and happy that I was able to do that.
I was just going to say that. I think your dad would have said, listen, don't worry about me. Go take care of that kid.
That's right. You know, and, you know, and I know I'm a religious guy, so I know that when, you know, when he got there, you know, there's somebody there to watch out for. So
well, I just tell people, if you go before me, leave the back door open.
There you go. But yeah, so we've been doing a lot of stuff like that. I'm hoping you're noticing a difference. I mean, I just ask people one thing. In 2022, I think we had, by the end of the year, we had about 30 shootings. There was a lot.
Yeah.
And it was 22 or something like that. There was a lot of shootings. What don't you hear anymore? You don't hear shootings because the right people who are causing the harm, who are not drug addicts, who are nothing but greedy people that were destroying our community with drugs and with guns, a lot of those people are locked up now. Because they're locked up now, doesn't mean they can't be a shooting, but I can tell you it has significantly been reduced down. In 16 months, we've had only one shooting. It was two 19-year-old kids shooting over a girl. That was it. One shooting compared to almost 30, I think, by the end of 2022. So the people that have the guns, if you're coming into Massachusetts to sell drugs and you're going to bring illegal weapons that you don't have a license to carry for, you're going to go to jail. And you're going to go to prison, and you got to go to prison for a long time. Marianne Shelby proved that last year in that 22 to 25 year state prison sentence that we sustained and got from an individual, fourth time coming in here selling drugs to the Berkshires. He's not coming back anymore. He's going to be in prison for the next 22 to 25 years. So that's the kind of things that we're dealing with. But at the same time, too, we are dealing with a lot of community problems, trying to address them. We're almost ready to be certified as a safe place with Pride. We've done two of the three. Next week, we'll have our third session, and we'll be certified with them. We work closely with those groups. I've worked a lot on the hate crimes within the last year. You know, the Anti-Defamation League, I worked with them last year, both with we had a lot of anti-Semitism, a lot of anti-gay. And so we put a lot of focus on that because – and then it got worse, obviously, when Hamas attacked on October 7th. So there's been a lot of hatred towards Jewish people. And so we've been taking that with very, very seriously and prosecuting them. And a couple of cases were juvenile cases where I found a program for Parents for Peace that dealt with how do you educate young people about the harm you do on hate crimes. And we spent a lot of money on that program, but we've adapted it. And now I can use it for other juveniles to come through the process. So there's a lot that we're doing that you don't see. We are really trying to tackle the juvenile court problems because for 4 years before I was in there, there was just they were diverted with no substance. In other words, the cases where we just didn't prosecute them, now they're prosecuted, and if they have to be diverted, they have got a program to go to. If they've got an alcohol problem or it's a drug problem, even though the kids, they have them, we get them into programs. If there's an anger issue, we get them into the programs that they need. We help them out with them. And some of them, some just get because they're so difficult and their records are so bad already, they end up in DYS custody. That's what's happening. We are prosecuting those crimes and we are seeing a difference. That's especially true for North Street because and BMC, where we had juveniles that were really harassing people in the garages. That's gone. We're trying to take the McKay Street garage. We're dealing with North Street. I know that's what some of the business owners have spoken to me about. Yep. Like I said, I go and speak with them all the time. So I think we're addressing a lot of those concerns.
I have seen a North Street clean up.
Yeah.
There was a point there 3 or 4 years ago. You'll get a kick out of this. I'm walking from Car Hardware to Dottie's on a Saturday because I had to get something at Car Hardware.
Yep.
And there were two young ladies, and that's being kind, young ladies standing in front of Walgreens. And they said, "Now imagine, hey, old man." I had to look around. I don't know who the hell they were talking to. It was me. They said, "Give us $5." I said, "Give you $5? Are you kidding me? I'm retired. You ought to be paying me."
One said,
"Let's go inside. I think he's nuts."
Well, it worked.
Well, I told my wife 100 times, "You're acting crazy." I said, "It keeps people at bay."
But look at that side of town. You got Car Hardware, which is a great family-owned store, family-owned organization. They can't
great
take
people.
They're great people, and they can't take the thefts. So we need to help them going when they're having this, when they have these shopliftings or organized retail crime that happen there. We need to help them out. And then, as you say, here you go. You're going to Dottie's and now Dorothy's, nice restaurants on Upper North Street, which is what we wanted. And then you've got North Street. I know they're reinventing their dinner situation as well. We're seeing that stuff come back. And if you look on North Street, look at all the wonderful Latino type of restaurants that are popping up, Brazilian and Peruvian, all sorts of Central American type of places that are run by hardworking, good people, and they're taking care of the fronts of their storefronts and their restaurants and whatnot. And it's cleaning up North Street. And I think you're going to see a lot of change going forward. I'm hoping the city continues to do what they're doing, to put a big emphasis on making sure that we can. I like walking down North Street on a Saturday afternoon. You know, I like going to see George at Soda Chef and then walk around, you know.
George is an institution. It's not
George
a
institution.
Business. It is truly an institution.
It's like you're going back in time.
I think the city council and I think the mayor, they're committed to bringing back North Street. I was so pleased about First Fridays coming back to
me
North.
Me too, Bill. Me too. I'm excited. It's right outside my front doors, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll be set up in June and July and September. We'll be out there. We're looking forward to it. And I've been saying to myself along because my wife and I walk up and down there, like, people just don't know what's here. This will give the opportunity for people now to see it on Fridays, to see what's offered downtown, to maybe patronize these establishments, see what they are, try their foods out, because a lot I don't speak Spanish, and I don't read Spanish, so a lot of stuff I don't understand what the food is. I'm really looking forward to it. I hope the county is. I hope people from South County, North County, all come out here, and I hope that we do a very successful job. And I can tell you this: it's safe, so you should feel much much safer in your community than you had in the past. Because we are working real hard and we're making sure we're keeping our city streets safe.
And for the viewers and the listeners, I didn't mean to step on you. I'm sorry, Mr. Diaz.
No, it's okay.
This, I want you to hear what he's saying. You know, I know there was a group that said about District Attorney Shugaru, you know, he's just going to hammer them. He's just going to do this. He's just, well, you know, if you listen to what he's saying, just in the first few minutes, it was less prosecution and more rehabilitation.
Correct.
He understands, as I do. I have known so many people who have done life on the installment plan, whether it was Berkshire County or Leavenworth or Arizona, Texas. But what he's trying to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's trying to prevent crime by rehabilitating people.
Absolutely. That's why our SROs, the reserve officers that are in our school system, they're so important to us, because what people don't realize is that they identify to us at-risk youths that may be on a path to getting somewhere. And normally, if we can catch that, we try to get them involved in things and reach out and help them before it gets into a situation where they're in the criminal justice system. So there's a lot of what we're trying to do with that. Certainly, doing the addiction help and getting people off drugs stops crimes from happening. It stops thefts. It stops vandalism. It's a lot of small cases that cause really discomfort for our citizens in the community, the people that are shopping. Those are problems that we have to address and tackle. And we do that the right way, with rehabilitation, with trying to get people back on the street. And I got to give my hats off to the sheriff as well, and the Second Street program, Second Street, Second Chances program that Jason Cutler started, and now Lindsay Maynard is now in charge of. It's such a great program, and we partnered with them and even did our Dress for Success program by making sure that people had clothing, men and women clothing, to go to these interviews, to help them with their resumes and help them with getting letters done. So like, the key is, even if people get incarcerated and they pay their dues to society, we can't just put them back out on the street without some sort of transition period into it, because they end up back in the trap house. They end up back in a house where there's drugs, and that's the only place they got to go. But if we help people out, get them on the health that they need, the health insurance that they need, so they can continue their monitoring of their treatment as they get out. And then, because they got to get treatment when they get out still. So we got to make sure that they're hooked up to health insurance. And then we have to make sure that we're trying to get them housing and getting them employed, because if we don't do that, then we don't break the cycle, and we can't stop recidivism. But by doing what we're doing, is getting people back to work, getting people off of drugs, cleaning them up, and making sure people don't have the addiction issue dressing over their head, we find it is much more successful, and they become productive, and they work for us. And believe it or not, those are the people that later on become mentors to other addicts as they're trying to get through the system. They see the light at the end of the tunnel. We have great resources with the Pittsfield Community Justice Resource Support Center. I always get that one, the tongue tied on that. But that's a great program Kyle Shadler and his group are doing. And this is ways to get people back in. And the sheriff told me, he said, we need time. When someone's going to get released, give us a few days' notice so we can acclimate them to get them back into society. We're working with them to do that. We're working with probation. We're working with the courts to do that, so that we're all on the same page to try to reintegrate somebody back into the system and still have no problems with alcohol, drugs, or whatever the substance is, and a mental health aspect of it. We're trying to just keep mental health cases on one particular day, so we have, in essence, even though it's not sanctioned by the state yet, we have a mental health session. So we're trying to do that. So we're trying to keep those together. We already have a drug court, which we're doing with that. And we also do the same thing. I try to keep veterans cases all together, so that we can treat our vets the same. Because oftentimes our vets had come back from Iran, Afghanistan, and Iraq and Afghanistan, and we don't give them resources. And if they end up in difficulties with addiction issues, we owe them that gratitude, and we owe them that type of help to help them get off the addiction issues, whatever that they may have. So we understand that, Bill, and so we're trying to tackle it that way. But at the same time, there were certain people that are coming in here that are not addicts, that are coming here solely, that are dangerous people with weapons, that are coming here to try to
To go
sell
to jail.
drugs, to ruin our community. I am not going to tolerate those. Those are the ones I'm putting in jail, and we are doing that. And I got to give hats off to Chief Tom Dolly from
Oh, what a
Pittsfield
great
Department.
guy.
He's a great guy. And Mark Bailey from North Adams, and Paul Storey from Cape Barrington. These people, that they're putting it out there, you don't see what they're doing. North Adams did their Catch a Predator. We caught a bunch of child molesters on the internet. And the drugs that they've tackled up there, they're working with our drug guys out of my office here. And there's a lot of work that's going on that people just don't see. But it's those departments. The Pittsfield Police Department is becoming such top-notch, and they are catching so many people that are coming in out of the community. Again, these are not Berkshire citizens. These are people coming in from either New York City, the Bronx, and from Springfield, Holyoke, and Albany. And so we've got these good departments that are working real hard for us. So I owe them. My accountability is to make sure that we prosecute these cases to the fullest extent, to help them do their jobs. Well, at the same time, too, I'm also trying to get rid of the demand for drugs, and that would be
Right.
to reduce the addiction. We reduce the addiction problems, we get people off drugs, there's a less of a need for drug dealers to come here. So it's a two-pronged attack. Cut the head of the snake off and then help the people that need the help and help them get back to work. That's the only way we are going to tackle the addiction problems and the opioid and now cocaine and heroin crisis in fentanyl.
Well, I, as a veteran who had no Vietnam era, they didn't even want to talk to us. So, but I will tell you, get a kick out of this. That they hadn't diagnosed it or didn't own up to it, I guess. PTSD, and they were giving people, you ready? Percocet.
Oh
so
my God.
Here you have a guy, and I know one. He's a wonderful guy now. He's fully recovered. He hasn't touched anything in probably 40 years. But you'd see him stumbling around the city, you know, and but I have to, because being a veteran, I have to applaud you and your team for understanding that they, when they come home, you know, Jim Clark and I have talked about this. Being in the military is not a job. It's a way of life. It's
Yes, it is.
Supportive. It's camaraderie. Now, all of a sudden, you're back home. Everybody's married and gone. I mean, I'm just speaking like myself. And what you're doing with that, with addiction, is facing what I call 21st, 22nd century issues with that in mind, not in 18th, 19th, 20th century.
True.
You know, you have to change with the times.
You do.
And what you're doing with juveniles, too, you're not just giving them a wash.
That's right. That's right. There's accountability. You're going to be, whether it means you got to do cleanup, you got to do, you know, community service, whether it means you got to get into a substance abuse program or an anger management program, whether it's just making sure that you're in school, making sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do. So that's very important to me. That's why I hired a specialist for a diversion expert, and it came from 18 Degrees in Springfield for our Pittsfield juvenile court, which also works for North Adams and Great Barrington as well. So we understand that. I also understand, and we've had so many heroes of ours that have gone over to Afghanistan and gone over to Iraq and fought for our countries. And quite honestly, myself, I always don't feel like we do enough for our veterans when we come back. So we owe them a great deal of obligation. I come from a family. My dad was a 91-year-old Marine that passed away last year, but he was a Marine and he was always a Marine.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yeah. And so, I understand the sacrifice that veterans make, and we make sure we support our veterans, and we make sure that if they're falling on tough times, that we're here to be cognizant of that, to recognize it, and to give them the help and the services that they need. And as I said before, and I told this all during the campaign, I didn't just talk. I've done everything I said I was going to do.
Yes, you have.
I have tackled the things
and quite a bit more, because I don't think you realize I don't think you realize how deep the pool was when you jumped in.
It's 100% right. You know, I mean, it was a lot more difficult, a lot worse than a situation that I had thought. But I am pretty comfortable where we are now, what we've accomplished. But I could tell you this, though, that we have tackled all the trainings that's going on. We're still doing a training. Now I'm working with the disabled persons group for doing a training.
Wonderful.
DPPC is going to be bringing trainers to us in September. We'll have 25 people get trained how to interview people with disabilities, adults.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and they're investing $25,000 into bringing that program to the Berkshires for law enforcement and for my ADAs. So I've also sent people around the country on that. We're working, like I said earlier, I talked a little bit about domestic violence. We're working with our high-risk teams. We've got the Geiger Institute on May 2nd that we're hosting, which is this week. We're getting that back in. We're also working on trying to get an opioid summit in the Berkshires at the Berkshire. We use Berkshire Innovation Center all the time, which is a great facility, by the way.
Oh, beautiful! It's a beautiful.
I'm going to give them a reach out, because we couldn't do what we're doing without BIC, Berkshire Innovation Center.
Yeah, it's a beautiful venue. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I am here, and I'm very privileged to have with me today the District Attorney of Berkshire County, Timothy Shugrue, and. He just made a comment. Let me reinforce. He said he promised he would do. He's doing everything he promised he would do during the campaign. And to the best of my knowledge, and I talked to a lot of people, he'll tell you I'm out and about. And it's happening. Now, is there going to be bumps and glitches? And yes, it's there, you know why? We're dealing with humans, not machines. So I used to have to tell my staff that when I ran a violent youthful offender program. Yeah, we got a hiccup with this kid. But let's look at the whole picture. And that's what District Attorney Shagrew was doing. And as I said to him, he didn't realize how deep the pool was until he got into it. Good thing he had those flippers. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're also simulcasting on PCTV and on the web and everywhere else. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned. This is an important hearing right from the DA. That's why it's important. You're not hearing it from your brother-in-law or somebody at the coffee bar. This is the guy. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. The guy you see sitting there, he's a handsome guy. He has a full head of hair. Plus, he has a very expensive tie. I wear this tie a lot because I only have three. His name is District Attorney Timothy Shagrew. He's a mover and shaker. He's just not a talker. He's not a politician. He's out there. He's being seen by the public, his team and him. He is a prosecutor. I'll give you a 30-second of his pedigree. He was started in the DA's office, worked in the DA's office, became one of the best defense attorneys in all of Massachusetts, especially Western Mass, and then lost his mind and went and ran for office. And he jumped in a very deep pool, and he's changed the pool. He's lowered the water level. And I am honored to have him on the show.
No, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
We still have in the fentanyl and the other.
Yeah, the trank adding to the fentanyl makes it a little bit worse, because when you add trank to fentanyl and to heroin, but most of the time we see fentanyl, it's mixed in with heroin or cocaine.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that it's mixed in with them. It can be lethal. The only little dab will kill you.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't even have the police officers tested on the scene anymore, because it's too dangerous for them, even with gloves. Just the touching your skin alone, it can be really dangerous. So now they've added a horse tranquilizer, which is the street name is Trank. And that Trank, what it does is extends the high for the individual on taking that medication. But it doesn't work. Narcan doesn't work on it.
Doesn't work.
So we end up with more overdoses because Trank is being added into the drug. So it's another element that, again, I want you to think about evil people that do that. Who would add something in there that doesn't, that we can't use a recipe to save them for, because it doesn't work.
Right.
Narcan doesn't work on Trank. And so they added that to it, so it make it more difficult. So people are dying, and we're trying to really lower the amount of deaths. And you come in with that. And we've got, one of the first things I did was I brought in training for CPR training and Narcan training within this office. One of the first things I did, people to speak about how you treat other people in the community. So we've done a lot of those kind of things. But then when you're doing that, and everybody in this office has Narcan, and everybody that we give them to them so that they have it. But it doesn't help us if all of a sudden we find out there's a drug that comes in there that Narcan will not work on. And that's really a sad state of affairs. But again, that's why we want to see some changes in the legislation, hopefully make that a more serious consequence for a sentence on adding those types of substances that make those substances so much more lethal. So we do work with our legislators as well to try to bring new legislation forward to address those issues. Ghost guns, big problem. So we're trying to get help certain parts of the gun bill that's coming through that deals with ghost guns, 3D burners, and getting guns that way that we can't trace to be able to get serial numbers put on different parts of a gun so that we can get those and trace those back. Because right now, we can't trace a ghost gun. And they're very difficult. They're plastic. And you can even make an AR-15 with a 3D printer.
3D so, printer, yeah.
And now there's other things that you see that they're developing, and we catch them, and it's important for us to catch them. They have these things called Sears Autos. Sears Autos, they go on into an AR-15, makes that AR-15 an automatic weapon. In other words, it doesn't stop shooting. The bullets just keep coming. And when you do an automatic weapon, it's almost impossible to not kill multiple people. Yep. So we actually, on the bank robbery that Pittsfield police solved, which was one hell of an investigation, they did a great job. They traced down this individual from Milford, and when they caught him down in Milford, caught him with I think it was 116,000 of the 145 he had stolen, he still had. He had an arsenal of weapons. He had armor piercing bullets. Yeah. He had smoke grenades. He had an AR-15, fully automatic AR-15. He had many handguns that were fully loaded, high capacity magazines, meaning more than 9 bullets in a gun, some up to 30. Had all those, and it appeared that he had started to survey him and follow him. Appeared like he was going to hit a TD Bank in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and they eventually took him down, and he's now facing the robbery in Pittsfield. So that was a great investigation by our Pittsfield Police Department, as we were just talking about them a moment ago.
Yeah.
But they're doing these type of cases and putting the effort into it. But that prevents as well, because I'm glad that they solved this case as quickly as they did.
Yes.
Because it was November, and by January, they had an idea of who it was, and by February, he was arrested. And he was ready to hit another bank. And this one could have been a real dangerous situation because of the automatic weapons with the armor-piercing bullets.
Yeah.
And he had lost himself, and he had smoke grenades. He had everything. Which could have been a disaster, and they were able to scoop him up and arrest him before that would have happened. So again, kudos to our Pittsburgh Police Department, kudos to our chief, and again, the three of us, being myself, the sheriff, and the chief, and the chief of in North Adams, we do the same thing as well. We meet frequently, and you know, when there was no relationship between the sheriff and the last administration and that DA, that was a real problem. We meet all the time. We're on the same page with it. We know what's happening. We also are able to monitor the phone calls that come out of the jail. So we know if somebody's violating the no contact order on restraining orders. We know if people are threatening victims. So we work closely with the jail. We work closely with the police departments. And I got to tell you, my relationship with law enforcement is nothing short of exceptional. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Men and women, they're putting their lives on the line. And if we do find some that I think that are a suspect, I we do it internally. We take care of those issues and we resolve it. But with the groups that we have, these departments that we have, it's first class, and they are working real, real hard. And on a limited budget, there's not a lot of money. So
they want to cut it.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's tough financial times right now in Massachusetts. But yes, you know, what we've been able to do last year with Julia Saborn, our community outreach director, we ended up getting, I think, over $600,000 in outside grants that we put back in the community. Didn't go to my office. There were grants that we received from the Berkshire District Attorney's Office that we used and gave to different organizations like Berkshire Roots and, you know, 18 Degrees and some of the other programs that are out there that we have used that money for. Human trafficking, we're working really hard on human trafficking, and not just including human trafficking and sex crimes, but also in the drug market, how people are being used, being trafficked by selling for some of the higher level dealers. And so we're aware of that. So we're using some innovative ideas to that. The organized retail crime has been nothing short of phenomenal. I get a call from Rentham the other day asking us, like, we heard about what you guys are doing in Berkshire County. This is Rentham, Mass. With a Rentham out.
Yeah.
They call up and said, we're hearing what you guys are doing in Berkshire County, how you're knocking the crime rate right down on organized retail crime. What are you doing? Can you guys come out here? So no, we can't come out there. We only belong in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
But just to show you, we have, I just sent Jim Hall, our organized retail crime person, to Dallas, Texas. He met the president of Retail Industry Leaders of America, RILA, and some of the NDA, National District Attorneys Association personnel. And he also met many people from the corporates, from Polo and from Target and from Walmart and all those. We have now partnered with them so that they will work with our police and they'll work with us. And now they share their videotapes with us, who we then share with other stores in the Northeast Corridor. And then we're catching these individuals and we share the scams that they're running. And so we share with each store and we have these meetings monthly. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time, but it's worth it. We are more prepared and more educated than these thieves are, and we're catching them. And these are not small crimes. You're talking when the Ulta's was 30,000 in 1 month, and we caught an individual with 5,000 coming out, where there were three individuals as an organized retail crime. We found Walmart, I think, had 1.6 million in 2022 out of the Pittsfield store walked out of there. We are making sure we're knocking those numbers down. We're working with them because these are not crimes of poverty. These are not crimes.
No.
We're not seeing people stealing baby formula or diapers. No, we're seeing people steal, booze, high-end,
watches.
Liquor, watches, but even supermarkets. It's the steaks and the crab legs and stuff
you
like that.
That's
yeah, it's just stuff that we know is on the open. It's on the drug market, and so we get it and we see it, and we're making a tremendous difference in that. Stores like Marshall's and Target, which were getting hit so bad. If they get hit now, we're following up with them. We're making sure we're going to catch these people. So if you think you're going to go into a store and you're going to steal, we're going to get you. It's just a matter of time because we're sharing that information. So I'm seeing a big reduction in that, and I'm getting a lot of thank yous from most of these businesses saying, wow, because, for 4 years, there was a no prosecution ban on those, and nobody would do that. Well, we take that very seriously, and we're seeing the theft go down. Because you know who pays for those when the thefts happen? You and I do, Bill.
That's right.
So we're making sure that
we're
capitalists.
If you heard the concept, you probably have. I'll say it for the audience. It's called dining in. And I never knew what it was until I listened to this group of people as I was waiting to go into another facility. And they were saying, another operation. And they said, well, I'm going down a Big Y. And he said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to dine in. And the guy says, oh, yeah, let me go with you. This time, though, I'm going to get the expensive roast beef. So then a little while later, I heard through another source, what they do is they go in and they order a pound of roast beef or whatever, and they eat it through the store and throw the wrapper away.
Yeah. It's just, these stores face such difficulties. I have to say, though, they have really stepped it up with their surveillances in the stores. They've really stepped it up. And Big Y does it. They have a police officer there all the time. And so I shop there. I live in Pittsfield. I'm a West Pittsfield guy. I grew up in the west side of Pittsfield. I went to Taconic. I'm a west side guy. That's where I've always gone. That's where I'm going to continue to go. I'm looking forward to all the events that are coming out. The West Side Legends have their events.
Oh, yeah, the Legends, yeah.
I love those guys. They're a lot of good people that are doing that. But that's where I shop. And the Big Y. And I told everybody that I was there. So I'm there, Friday afternoons, Monday mornings, I'm always in there shopping and I see what's going on in there. And, it's hard for me to shop there sometimes because I don't get out for an hour and a half after talking to everybody and their brother in there.
But you're
important. It's important.
I don't say this to Bronnie. You're approachable.
Right.
And I'm not going to talk about others. You're approachable. Even if somebody comes to you and says, something, you will defend your position.
Right.
You just don't dismiss people because they don't understand what you're doing. I had a person, as I mentioned earlier, say, he wants to just put people in jail. And I learned this at the police academy from a friend of Congressman Neal's, and he was a commandant of the academy in Springfield, Sergeant Tommy Fitzgerald, who became chief there. And he used to say, you can't have a legitimate discussion with a fool or a drunk.
Right.
So just make up your mind what you're going to do and do it. Well, now when I get in, I don't deal with many drunks anymore, But when I get into a conversation with someone you can't even rationalize with because they don't want to, they've had this in their head.
Right.
Then I just say, got to run, dude. Got a meeting.
Yeah. Sometimes people don't want to hear logic, even if you want to give a logical conversation. They have their mind made up, and that's just the way it is.
Human nature. You know, How about the guns? The last show you talked about, and that got people stopped me on the street. Say, I didn't even know we had that many guns in Pittsfield.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a lot less now.
yeah. But please, if you can, that was terrific.
Yeah, I said that's one thing we did last year. I couldn't get in the office until January 4th. But on November 10th, the day after the general election, I did reach out to the state police and to Pittsfield police. And we began a wiretap back in 2022. And by the time I took office, a week later, we then picked up 15 high-level drug dealers that had already been out on personal recognizance. They weren't held on bail, but they all had gun charges and trafficking of drug charges. And we picked them all up again on trafficking charges and on gun charges again. And guess where they are? They're now held.
Yeah.
So, you know, we put them in jail. And they were shocked. And the first thing they said was, I heard you didn't get in trouble up here. That was the reputation Berkshire County had. Heard you didn't get in trouble up here. We changed the reputation already. You're going to come up here. You're going to sell drugs. We got a place to put you on. It's right up next to the Target. It's in the House of Correction. So
yeah,
we have to do that. We will do that for those people. But we're not about just, you know that. We're not just about locking people up. I lock up the people that are coming in here that are hardened, big-time criminals that need to get off our streets, that are poisoning and ruining our community. And I'm people that have addiction issues and have mental health issues or problems, we deal with them on a human nature level. Yeah. I always feel the district court is the people's court. That's where we find out these people, most of the majority of the people coming in here are not criminals. They're people who find themselves falling into the criminal justice system. We treat them accordingly, and we treat them with respect, and we make sure that we try to help them out with other issues they may have in their lives so they can move on and never come back to that courthouse. That's the whole goal of it.
I don't want to reminisce about the past because I made a comment to a former person in your position about using the jail as a detoxification center. They're certified, they have trained medical people. In my experience, I didn't have the experience that person had, but my experience is when they're on drugs, that's all they think about.
Yes.
So until they get clean, get off of drugs, Sheriff Bowler and the team over there, and that goes back to, you know, the 50 World War II that we've treated people. First right. alcohol AAA program was in the Berkshire County House of Correction and Jail.
Right.
And so, sometimes you just can't have logic with people. And I've seen it. I've seen jails where someone comes in, they don't know if they're in the living room or jail.
Yeah. I mean, I did this for defense work for so long.
Yeah.
I knew what my clients, what the problem was. I knew that they had to stay off the drugs. The only way to stay off the drug is get them into rehab. They don't want to do it themselves. The urge is too great. The need is there. They want to get it no matter what. But once you get them, if you get them detoxified and you get everybody cleaned and you give them incentives, then positive incentives to get off the drugs, to get back to work, and to give them the health they need. A lot of them just don't have the health insurance to cover the Suboxone and the other medications necessary to get your physical body off that addiction that it's got. Yeah. You've got to have those services available to you in order to get off there. And I've seen, that's why I decided to run, is that I saw so many of my clients do so well because I was spending the time as their lawyer, helping them, you know, get back on their feet, get clean, and then get a job, and then get the housing, and get that, and then go to court and get their cases resolved. And most times, 9 out of 10 times after that, I would be in a good position to get a judge to give me a better sentence and a better recommendation because of the work that was done for these individuals who worked hard to get clean. I know that's the answer. Get rid of the big supply, the guys that are going to come in here that are just doing it based on soul greed, and then the other ones, deal with the addiction issue on a day-to-day basis with people that live as our brothers and sisters and our neighbors in our communities. Just remember, and I keep going back to this all the time before we end the show, is I want to talk about this again, is civility. how important civility is. Say hello to your neighbor, shake hands with people, do whatever, but you know, just be civil to each other, because we lost civility about 4 or 5 years ago, and we need to get it back. And we need to be treat each other right as our brothers and sisters who live and work here together, and understand people have different backgrounds, different ways they've grown up, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Black, whether you're white. We all have to be able to get along and take our and use our collective backgrounds as a positive thing and not as a negative thing, to show that we are a real melting pot, because that's what America is built upon, is a melting pot of all these other ethnic groups coming together and working with the best of all of us. And that's what we need to do in Berkshire County. And I think we can do that. And I'm feeling like we're doing that. And I see that in the community. I really promote positivity. I really promote that going forward, that things are going to get better. And I'm seeing them get better. And I hope that the community is seeing them get better as well. That's our goal. That's our mission. And I think it does come down to start basics is just with each other, civility, just like you and I are. I see you out and I got a smile on my face. It's a pleasure, you know. And I go to these events often because I do want to promote that civility. We're here for public safety, but we're also here to help our community, to make sure we try to prevent crimes and make sure we get people off of maladies that they may have that we can help them with.
And it's I say it again, it's 21st century thinking.
Right.
You know, lock them up and throw away the key. Well, you better throw it a long way, because unless they murdered somebody or really hurt somebody, they're not going to be locked up that long. They're going to be back.
Yep.
And you know, and I know, we're preaching to the choir each other, but the last thing you want a juvenile to get that record, because then that kid, oh boy or girl, they're pushing water uphill for the rest of their life.
That's right. And that's why we try to give the diversion program, so they don't end up with, even people in district court. I mean, think about the 22 to 25 year olds.
Yeah.
We don't want them ending up that way, but I give that incentive that you don't have to end up with a record. You can end up with a dismissal, but I need you to get clean. I need you to become accountable. That's it. We're all accountable. We go to work. We work hard
every day.
And so we got to be accountable. But before we go, I do want to say one thing. I want to give a shout out to last week. We had our statewide conference, and we had our district court lawyer, Alex Servo, received a spotlight award last week for excellence in the district court in Pittsfield under Kelly Kemp's direction. So I just want to give a shout out for him as well, for working real hard. I saw him when he worked in the previous administration, and he was floundering because he didn't have any training. And Kelly Kemp has really done a great job of training him, and he's done statewide trainings. And now he's a supervisor in the Pittsfield District Court. So again, it just shows you, last year, as you might remember, we had Jane Pierce, who got our statewide award of Victim of the Year. So, you know, we're getting good people in this office, and I want the community to know that. And he's a wonderful young individual that's working real hard for the citizens of Berkshire County.
Well, I have to say this, and I had forgotten, but at my age, I forget where I parked the car. But
I do too, Bill, and I have a spot.
Yeah, that's right. You know it. Yeah, I got the alarm. You know who taught me that? Sam Landa. I'm in the federal building years ago, and the horns bomb, 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 and there's Sam. I said, Sam, what are you doing? He said, I just found my car. But interestingly enough, one of your a brother and a sister in the Lodge of Lawyers I'm glad you brought that up, has complimented the operation of the district court from the district attorney's side.
Wow, that's nice to hear.
I heard that from one of your brothers, and one not together either. I saw them. I was coming out of Patsy Harris's place.
Oh, yeah, I love Patsy.
Yeah. But anyhow, I thank you for coming on. I know you're a busy guy, but I think it's important.
Oh, I agree.
At least monthly to get you, or even your assistant DAs. Yes, you're probably still grooming some, but boy, you brought in your first assistant. It, in my opinion, hung the moon.
Yeah, she's really good. Her and the second assistant, Kelly Kemp, but same thing.
Yeah, I got
a lot of great line ADAs. I got to give the shout out to Joe Yolano winning that trial last week.
Yeah.
Which was not easy. It was an older case, and he did it in the victim advocate. We redesigned the whole victim advocacy program, too. Those are all new advocates. And I'm getting great feedback from the public that they are getting They're reaching out to victims, and the victims are feeling that they are being heard. That's I'm most proud of that, probably more than anything else.
And I do want to thank you and your entire staff for representing us, the people in the courtroom, because that's what they do. We're not there, and you don't want to be there. Believe me, you don't want to be there.
You don't want to
But
be there.
even as a spectator, you don't want to be there. But thank you for coming on the show. I will be working with Julia and you and Kelly next time. We'll get a
Yeah,
date.
sounds great.
I can't thank you enough for doing that. I can't thank you enough for giving up your practice.
I
And by the
know.
way,
Boy, I
he
miss
had
you
a very
sometimes.
good practice. He had a very
I do miss the lucrative aspect of that part of
Really?
the
Well,
job.
all I can tell you is is speaking for myself, and oh, I got to do this so we don't get in trouble. The views and opinions expressed on the program are mine and those of my guests. In no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, or the guy who was riding his motorcycle on the sidewalk down East Street on the Girls Club side yesterday. You are a certified nutcase. A motorcycle driving down the sidewalk, going like the hammers of heck. All I can tell you is thank you for taking your time, and I know it's precious, but thank you for this. The people I know will get good feedback. We
Yeah,
always do.
it's important. It's important for everybody in the community to know what we're doing, and I appreciate you having this avenue. And WTBR, you know what it means to me.
Oh, yeah,
I
please.
go way back with WTBR, and so I'm so glad that this avenue is available for us to get out to the community. So thank
And
you.
I refer to the old, TBR Taconic as the TBR at the old Taconic.
That's right.
It had character. Well,
That's
oh,
right.
by the way, quick thing. Next week, every day, live from Taconic Studio, we're going to be interviewing school people through the week. So if you get a chance, take a look at it.
Great.
Take care, everybody. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, DA.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Bye. Say hi to the bride.
I will. You too.
Porcupine.